Day 201. 2 Chronicles 4:1-6:11. Solomon also made a bronze altar, 30 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 15 feet high. Then he cast a large round tank, 15 feet across from rim to rim. It was called the Sea. It was 7.5 feet deep and about 45 feet in circumference. The Sea was encircled just below its rim by 2 rows of figures that resembled oxen. There were about 6 oxen per foot all the way around, and they had been cast as part of the tank. The Sea rested on a base of 12 bronze oxen, all facing outward. 3 faced north, 3 faced west, 3 faced south, and 3 faced east. The walls of the Sea were about 3 inches thick, and its rim flared out like a cup and resembled a lily blossom. It could hold about 16,500 gallons of water. He also made 10 basins for water to wash the offerings, 5 to the south of the Sea and 5 to the north. The priests used the Sea itself and not the basins for their own washing. Solomon then cast 10 gold lampstands according to the specifications that had been given and put them in the temple. 5 were placed against the south wall and 5 were placed against the north wall. He also built 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 along the south wall and 5 along the north wall. Then he molded 100 gold basins. Solomon also built a courtyard for the priests and the large outer courtyard. He made doors for the courtyard entrances and overlaid them with bronze. The Sea was placed near the southeast corner of the temple. Huram-Abi also made the necessary pots, shovels, and basins. So at last, Huram-Abi completed everything King Solomon had assigned him to make for the temple of God. 2 pillars, 2 bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, 2 networks of chains that decorated the capitals, 400 pomegranates that hung from the chains on the capitals, 2 rows of pomegranates for each of the chain networks that were hung around the capitals on top of the pillars, the water carts holding the basins, the Sea and the 12 oxen under it, the pots, the shovels, the meat hooks, and all the related utensils. Huram-Abi made all these things out of burnished bronze for the temple of the Lord, just as King Solomon had requested. The king had them cast in clay molds in the Jordan Valley between Succoth and Zarethan. Such great qualities of bronze were used that its weight could not be determined. So Solomon made all the furnishings for the temple of God, the gold altar, the tables for the bread of the presence, the lampstands and their lamps of pure gold to burn in front of the most holy place as prescribed, the flower decorations, lamps and tongs, all of pure gold, the lamp snuffers, basins, dishes, and fire pans, all of pure gold, the doors for the entrance to the most holy place and the main room of the temple overlaid with gold. 2 Chronicles 5. When Solomon had finished all the work related to building the temple of the Lord, he brought in the gifts dedicated by his father, King David, including all the silver and gold and all the utensils. These were stored in the treasuries of the temple of God. Solomon then summoned the leaders of all the tribes and families of Israel to assemble in Jerusalem. They were to bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from its location in the city of David, also known as Zion, to its new place in the temple. They all assembled before the king at the annual festival of shelters in early autumn. When all the leaders of Israel arrived, the Levites moved the ark, along with a special tent and all its sacred utensils. The Levitical priests carried them all up to the temple. King Solomon and the entire community of Israel sacrificed sheep and oxen before the ark in such numbers that no one could keep count. Then the priests carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant into the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and placed it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings out over the ark, forming a canopy over the ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the front entrance of the temple's main room, the holy place, but not from outside it. They are still there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the 2 stone tablets that Moses had placed there at Mount Sinai, when the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel after they left Egypt. Then the priests left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day. And the Levites, who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Judathan and all their sons and brothers were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar, playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. The trumpets and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, "He is so good. His faithful love endures forever." At that moment, a cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their work because the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. 2 Chronicles 6. Then Solomon prayed, "O Lord, you have said that you would live in thick darkness, but I have built a glorious temple for you where you can live forever." Then the king turned around to the entire community of Israel standing before him and gave this blessing. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept the promise he made to my father David. For he told my father, 'From the day I brought my people out of Egypt, I have never chosen a city among the tribes of Israel as the place where a temple should be built to honor my name. Nor have I chosen a king to lead my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem as the city, and David as that king.'" Then Solomon said, "My father David wanted to build this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord told him, 'It is right for you to want to build the temple in my name, but you will not be the one to do it. One of your sons will build it instead.' And now the Lord has done what he promised, for I have become king in my father's place. I have built this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have placed the ark, and in the ark is the covenant of the Lord, the covenant that the Lord made with the people of Israel." Then Solomon stood with his hands spread out before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire community of Israel. Romans 7, 1-13. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are family with the law, don't you know that the law applies only to a person who is still living? Let me illustrate. When a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. So this is the point. The law no longer holds you in its power, because you died to its power when you died with Christ on the cross. And now, you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, you can produce good fruit, that is, good deeds for God. When you were controlled by your old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law arose with these evil desires that produce sinful deeds, resulting in death. But now we've been released from the law, for we died with Christ, and we no longer are captive to its power. Now we can really serve God, not in the old way by obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way, by the Spirit. Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is evil? Of course not. The law is not sinful, but it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, "Do not covet." But sin took advantage of this law and aroused all kinds of forbidden desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. I felt fine when I did not understand what the law demanded. But when I learned the truth, I realized I had broken the law and was a sinner, doomed to die. So the good law, which was supposed to show me the way of life, instead gave me the death penalty. Sin took advantage of the law and fooled me. It took the good law and used it to make me guilty of death. But still, the law itself is holy and right and good. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my doom? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation. So we can see how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commandment for its own evil purposes. The law is good, then. The trouble is not with the law, but with me, because I am sold into slavery, with sin as my master. I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. But I can't help myself, because it is sin inside me that makes me do these evil things. Proverbs 19, verse 22 and 23. Loyalty makes a person attractive, and it is better to be poor than dishonest. Fear of the Lord gives life, security, and protection from harm.